We're actually going to start just a little mini teaching here. I think the Lord has led me to do this. So the title is going to be something like Aliens, Foreigners, and Strangers. They all kind of are synonyms of each other, but that's what we are on this earth. We are aliens, we are foreigners, we are strangers. And we may have other words that we can use with that. We are temporary residents here on this earth. We are exiles, and we are outsiders. If you listen to those words, that tends to not be our mindset as Christians. Because unfortunately, we made a home here on this earth. That's a problem. Because that means we've gotten comfortable. If you think about the African slave displaced from his homeland, snatched brutally from the homeland, thrown onto a ship, sails across the ship, 3 to 6 month trip, and he arrives here in this foreign land. He's a stranger. He or she is an alien. They are an exile. They're thinking of this as a temporary residence, hopefully trying to get back to the homeland. Yeah. Well, we are citizens of heaven. We're going to read all this in a moment. And so although we never were in heaven per se, but because our nature is from heaven, our Father's from heaven, our big brother is in heaven, the Holy Spirit comes from heaven, our name is written down in heaven, we're heavenly citizens now. We're exile. We're on exile here. Our mindset ought to be that this is a temporary residence here on earth. We are here on earth, as Sister Nana exhorted us. So, and we're going to get into what we need to do while we're here. But because we are here, we have an assignment, there are things to do, and we'll get into that. But our mindset ought to be, man, we're just here just for a moment. And what that does is not to have you dive so deeply into the things of this world, not to become so comfortable here, not even working to even get comfortable here. In a sense, I'm not saying eating food, and I'm not saying go off and live a minimalist life where you kind of torture your own self and things of that nature. I'm not talking about, because all that's physical. Yeah. We're talking about an inner mindset. Yeah. That we are aliens, foreigners, strangers, meaning that this residence here is temporary at best. We're exiles. We are outsiders. Because you have to realize that as a child of God with the nature of a partaker of the divine nature, you're an outsider. You don't fit in. If you fit in, that's a problem. People ought to, if an alien walked in here, we would look at that dude real strange. People ought to look at you real strange because your lifestyle doesn't match theirs. Remember, most of the world are sinners. There are billions of sinners. Only few find the straight and narrow gate and enter into life. Now, I didn't just pull those words out of the sky. Let's dig into the word and find out where those words came from. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 13. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. For the most part, is everyone comfortable temperature-wise? For the most part? Okay. Mother, what about you? All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith. Wait a minute. These all died in faith. Talking about verses 1 through 12 are talking about the saints of God how they lived out in faith and so forth. He said, these all died, the previous 1 through 11 or 12 verses, died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them, the promises, and greeted them from afar, the promises, by faith. And having acknowledged, look, they acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. What does King James have?
Strangers and pilgrims.
And pilgrims, exiles, passing through, temporary residents. They acknowledged that they were that. So I think the first thing we need to do is that we need to acknowledge that.
Amen.
But you must first be informed that you are
Amen.
That.
Right.
Strangers, pilgrims, foreigners, aliens. You gotta first acknowledge that. Then, I mean, be informed that that's what you are. And then once you are informed that that's what you are, then take ownership of that. They acknowledge that they were strangers and pilgrims where? In case we get confused, on the earth. Not in Mars. On the earth, where we are. Aren't we on the earth?
Yes.
We are strangers and pilgrims. Foreigners. Exiles. Father God, drill that mindset into us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say la. Say, pause and calmly think about that. Strangers. Foreigners. Exiles. Refugees. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. You got it? Okay. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, this is his letter. To the people of God. To those who reside as what? Aliens. King James has what?
Strangers.
Strangers. Aren't aliens strangers?
No.
Most definitely. To those who reside as aliens. By the way, who is influencing Peter as he writes these words?
Holy Spirit.
So he didn't pull that word out of his own. Whatever, per se. He's influenced by the Holy Spirit. So this labeling, if you will, comes from God through the Holy Spirit, through Peter, to us, that we are aliens. Strangers. That very word, just let it sink. And then I hope as you're thinking, you are taking an inventory of your life, a sort of panoramic overview, and say, you know, when I go into my workplace, am I a stranger to them, or am I all buddy-buddy with everybody? Now, you got to read in there, be sensible. Not am you going in, you know, I hate the world, you know, just, man, therefore, I'm a stranger. No, you strange. There's a difference between being a stranger and being strange, in a sense. Don't get silly. And I think we're mature enough here to understand that. Yes, you're to be cordial in the den of iniquity. You'd be cordial with me dealing with the public and dealing with parents and students and whoever you deal with. Because if you're going to get into how a stranger is supposed to act, and why all of this is, and might as well go to the whole end of the whole thing, is to bring God glory. But however, your lifestyle ought to be strange. And so Peter calls them strangers, aliens, foreigners. I to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, Inkster, comma, Romulus, comma, Belleville, all other parts. You follow that? He's writing to them as well as to us, who are chosen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's enough there to just shout until the walls come down. Thank God you chose us. Who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Look at the very next chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2. The very next chapter, verse 11. Verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens, and he adds the word, and strangers. King James? Strangers and pilgrims. To abstain from flesh and lust, which wage war against the soul. We'll get into what to do. But first of all, I want you to see how he's addressing them again. As strangers and aliens and pilgrims and foreigners. Aliens, I have here just a quick little note on this. Aliens and strangers reminded the people of God that they were not truly members of this world society. That's what I want you to get a hold of. That's what those labels should trigger. That we are not truly members of this society. And thank God. Because who's running this world's kingdoms?
Satan
is. We're just passing through. Now, he's allowed us to be entrepreneurs, to hold positions of management, to work with people and have relationships. All that's great. But don't let that cause us to lose sight of the main thing. That we're just temporary residents passing through. And to me, and I think to this church we've heard it enough, that's great news. If this world was all there is, then I'd see why you commit suicide. To be honest with you. Because you don't know the after. That's why folks try to climb up in the casket. Because this is all of life that they have. They are sorrowing as the world, what?
Sorrow.
That has no hope.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to imagine.
No.
Living in this world with no hope. But that's what we were. When we were not saved, we had no hope. This was it. And so you throw yourself into everything in this life. Best you can. Do the best you can with what you got. Butterball Jr. he used to say, can all you do and do all you can. Because this life is it. It's like you get one shot. Hear all those things back in the day. Man, I was depressed out my mind. I was the saddest boy in Texas, even though I lived in Michigan. It's sad, fearful, scared, because you don't understand, you don't know. Whoo, so glad he saved me. Wow. We're not members of this society. We really are not. Let's define these words. So we're going to kind of use as a little base for that is where you are right now, 1 Peter 2:11. I'm going to break those words, some of those things down. He said, beloved, I urge you as aliens. And so what's the first word that King James has?
Strangers.
Strangers. Okay, so aliens, strangers, and then the second word is pilgrim, right? Okay. Aliens, taking notes, literally means alongside the house. The word alien or stranger means alongside the house. Now, Can everybody over here see this? So Scott went way over here. Nicole, you can see this too. Okay. So you got your house. And don't laugh at my house.
You said don't laugh.
I said don't laugh. And Chris is laughing. And we are alongside the house. The house represents a member of this world, society, the earth. We're not in the house. We're alongside of it. So we have to live side by side in a sense with people who are quote unquote residents here. But we're not of that. We don't have a house. We are temporary residents here. But unfortunately, way too many Christians have gone inside the house. That's a problem. Meaning they have integrated into society. The beliefs, they've wimped out. I don't even know when you use the other word. But they've wimped out. And have allowed public opinion to kind of dominate their preaching. And they backed off the things of the Word of God. Because they want to be comfortable. Do you think, if you just think about the black experience, when a black person was enslaved, was he ever comfortable for the most part?
No.
There was just a mindset of, man, we are being brutalized over here. Now, I understand that's sort of a bit extreme in a sense, but there was never a time when they just, I sure just want to stay here and just be here. No, not in that mindset. No. We're alongside the house. We're not in there. And we're only alongside the house because the Lord God caused us to be born again, and he didn't Elijah us out of here.
Yes.
Or what's the one in Genesis? Enoch. He didn't do that. They were raptured immediately. That would have been cool. You got to deal with none of this. But he didn't. And most saints, he did not. So we all got to live alongside the house. But let me tell you something. Stay alongside the house. Do not get in the house. Don't think as the world thinks. Don't act as they act. Don't speak as they speak. There's a certain level of uncomfortableness, I don't know if that's a word, that we need to maintain when it comes to the things of this world. That's why I keep drilling you those hot button topics of abortion and homosexuality and same-sex marriage. Don't wimp out on those topics so that you can be comfortable. And when you do that, you compromise the glory of God. The very reason why you're here is not for your comfortability, for my comfortability, it is for his glory.
Amen.
Remember, being uncomfortable is a very good thing. That means you're outside the house. Folks come to this country, they didn't have anything. They were no house to reside in. That's the mindset we need to keep having. And then the house represents this world. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. The God of this world, system, society. Alongside the house. Said the word came to denote any person who lives in a country not his own and is therefore a foreigner. This term fits Christians who do not belong to this world system but live alongside those who do. I'm going to read that again. Does that make sense?
Amen.
The house represents this world system. That's why as a businessman, and on your taxes, you don't cheat and cut corners like the world does. Mm-hmm. Trying to give a dime and a quarter, a little bit more. Mm-hmm. God says to pay your taxes. The Lord God said that. That's what all that about. He set up taxes. Now, man, they're taking too much. Black folk getting more. Middle class taking more. I don't care about none of that. God knows all that. Amen. Knew all that before. I told you, Donald Trump didn't invent God. He already knew he was coming. Whether it's Democrats or Republicans, the taxes are all sideways. Pay them. Just obey God.
Amen.
He'll take care of the rest. Because your obedience is how you're rewarded. So don't go to cheating and losing integrity, bringing God less glory because you try and get a couple more dollars. Stay outside the house. Definition again. Literally means alongside the house. It came to denote any person who lives in a country not his own and is therefore a foreigner. This is not our country. And quiet as it's kept, black folk, neither is Africa. And white folk, neither is Europe. If you're a Christian, this is still not your country. This is not your home.
Thank you, Father.
Help us, Father God. Again, I'm going to be praying this throughout this whole sermon to drill that mindset into us. In the name of Jesus. We're foreigners. For, you know, if you think about it, we speak a different language. At least we're supposed to. Because we talk Bible-ese. Bible-ish. And they're talking world-ish. Satan-ese. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Two different languages. Our customs are supposed to be different. And not in a lot of cases, they're not. Some of us eat like the world. We spend our leisurely time just like the world. Some of our goals and aspirations are just like the world's. Some of our, you know, desire for status, you know, through brands and all that is just like the world's. Mindset, just like the world's. Want the same exact thing, just like the word. That's why one of the greatest damages that the prosperity gospel did was just caused you to be more worldly. You talking about it just pushed Christians into the house. Because the bottom line, they're doing it under guise of the Bible. And I use that word strongly, under the guise of the Bible. But what it was, it ended up motivating Christians to want the same exact thing that the Gentiles seek.
Yes.
The non-Christian.
Yes.
Status, wealth, fame, prosperity.
More than a word. Yes, sir.
We know that you can have those things. We're not saying not that, but that's not to be a focus. Because that's what the house is all about. It's all about status, wealth, fame, brand. And there ain't nothing wrong with playing a little golf. There's nothing wrong with watching a little TV unless the Lord told you not to. Picking out the right movie and going to two movies. But it becomes a problem when that becomes all that you do and the Word of God is nowhere to be found. Those of you who've been there basically from the beginning, you can basically say from the beginning, I've been begging you all, make sure you get the Word of God every day. Some way, shape, or form. Every day. Just turn it on. Let it fill your house. Let it play while you're gone. When you walk in, it's coming in. Maybe you had a bad day all day at work. All day. You walked in, coworker crazy, boss crazier, his boss insane. Just got worse. Just a bad day. All the meetings were bad. Children went crazy. Public went crazy. And Jezebel and all of them joined you all at the same time. New people came in that was from Jezebel. Came in loud and proud. And you ready to throw a fit. Just let that word, you ought to have it already running on your car. When you turn the switch on, let the word come out. You'd be amazed at the power that's in the Word of God. You'll be amazed. You will be amazed. You talking about breaking a focus because you're so angry you're seeing red? And that word come in and cut like a knife through all of that.
Yes.
And a lot of times the Lord will do is he'll turn things to you. Now, you all mad about what they did, but what about what you did last night? If I turned as red as you are, you wouldn't be here to be mad at them. Every day, get the word. We are strangers, foreigners. Foreigners, they don't, the house people don't get the word every day. It's not a focus. Something to kind of make you feel good, but it's not a focus. It's not the pure word of God. It's not the focus of house people. Again, the term fits Christians who do not belong to this world system, but live alongside those who do. So that's aliens. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers, which is a synonym of alien or stranger. It refers to a visitor. King James renders this word again, pilgrims. A visitor who travels through a country and makes a brief stay there. A brief stay. Even though mother's 88, going on 89 years old, still that's a brief stay compared to eternity. Nothing but a blip. That's why we can get so much joy. The moment you live, the little time you have here is nothing compared to eternity with God the Father. Amen. That's exciting. And the older you get, the more real that becomes.
Amen.
The more mature you get. We're developing a heavenly mentality, which is helps us to develop an alien mentality. So a person going through a brief stray, a traveler, a journey, one who journeys, stops off on his way to heaven. Earth is just a stop on the way to heaven. Then he tells us what to do. We'll get to that later. Abstain from fleshly lusts and wage war against the soul. So we understand, we got the definitions, right? All right, so we're going to ask a series of questions, then answer them. As a result of being an alien, how will the world act towards you? And this is why folks don't identify themselves as aliens. I don't like it. How will the world act towards you? Well, the answer is with hostility and hatred. Look at John, the Gospel of John. The 15th chapter, verse 18. The Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. Is this making sense so far? Amen. All right. John, the 15th chapter, 18th verse. Let me go ahead and wait on you. Lance. Let me go ahead. Okay, all right. If the world hates you, and really that if is really what? Since the world hates you, you know this. It has hated me before it hated you. See, so when I tell people, you know, when people come to me or Sister Roland, and they hurting and man, you know, hey, treat me wrong, and this, that, and the other. Man, that's bold. That's wrong. I said, you ain't good company. That's what I tell them. So you ain't good company.
Amen.
Because the word of God says to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted and dogged out and hated and was hostile to the prophets who were before you. So you have all the prophets of God who were before you, and then Jesus is in that company, and so now you're joining that company. You're in good company. Now, that flips the script on how you view you being persecuted. I'm not saying you go home, just turn around and love it and just be gravy with it, but it helps you to deal with it. And again, he had word of life, and this is where the prosperity and all that is, everything is gravy, easy peasy, lemon squeezy type mindset. That's such a false lie, because it does not prepare you for when things get rough. The word of God doesn't say it'll never get rough. It prepares you for when it does, so you can go through the rough times.
Amen.
not always escaping them or trying to escape them, because you can't escape them anyway. Through the rough times, it hated me, Jesus, before it hated you. That's a comfort to them. Let it be a comfort to us. You are not alone. Then it tells you why. Look here. As it said, if you were of the world, or if you belong to the world, of means of the world, or means to belong to the world would love you, treat you with affection, right? The world would love its own if you were of the world, belong to the world. But because you are not of the world, because he chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates and detests and loathes you. Now, if you just read that and heard that for real, this is why Christians wimp out concerning the things of God. They don't want to be hated. They don't want to be treated with hostility. This is why, right here. Because your speech is different. You're speaking a foreign language. In this politically correct climate, I mean, this organization of psychologists have renamed sexual child abuse as, let me get this demonic name right, transgender intimacy for sexual child abuse. Pedophiles. Having a grown person having sex with a child is a cross, I'm not saying that right. Gender is, yeah, cross gender. But it's something dealing with a young and an old intimacy. They renamed it. Just like fornication has been renamed as premarital sex. Right. Adultery has been renamed as extramarital affair. Homosexuality is the gay lifestyle. Gay means happy. And now we're talking about some transgender intimacy. That's when any society can rename the sexual abuse of children so that it's more palatable. We're in a dangerous place. This is very evil society. And that'll help you to stay alongside the house. I don't want no part of that house. My Lord and my God. You ought to hear things like that and think, man, I'm glad I'm a foreigner and a stranger. I have no problem with that. You can keep that house. But be bold and be strong. Knowing, he already said, they're going to hate you when you speak the truth to your friends. That's when your friends drop off, when they start going south. Like, man, I ain't been around you no more. You got to be strong. Cry. Go ahead and cry. But don't compromise the word trying to keep that friendship. You got to cut that loose. Yes, yes, yes. I'm talking back here so nobody know. The Lord, you know, the Lord has told you. You know, the Lord has told, there's some people in here, back there, who have, the Lord have told you to let these people go. Amen. And you ain't did it yet. Thank you, blind. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. You know that. Haven't cut them loose yet. And he told you to. Because they do not They do not promote your pilgrimage down here. You're being exiled. I'm blessed to be in a room, for the most part, full of those who are foreigners, aliens, and exiles. Because we have the same speech. We understand one another. We have the same nature. When you're with those who do not. See, you can't be outside the house hanging with folks that are in the house, hanging with people in the house. Now, I think you got to work with them. You got to go to work. Yeah. Pastor Paul said, if you're not going to be around the ungodly, you must needs be go out the world. Okay, I'm not saying you to do that. Because you gotta work with them. But you're not to be of them. Not hanging like wet clothes, no. So whoever that was, handle business. Amen. Obey God. If you're of the world, they would love you. Because you're not of the world, they detest, despise, loathe you. Because you are a part of Jesus, who they hated so much that they killed him. Tortured him, brutally murdered him. Because he spoke another language and was not of their way of thinking. He stayed outside the house. Amen. He was a true alien. He's our chief alien. Yes. He's the example we are to follow. Amen. Now, I gave it away, but let's look at the next question. First question is as a result of being an alien, how will the world react towards you? They're going to hate you. Why will they hate you? Stay right where you are. Look at verse 19. I'm going to focus on it. If you were of John 15:19, if you were of or belonged to the world would love its own. Have here, treat you with affection if you were of the world or belong to the world. But because you are not of the world, and I have in here, no longer one with it, one with it, because he chose you out of the world, because of this, the world, because of what? This. What is this? You not belonging to the world. What does that mean? You not thinking like the world thinks. You not acting like the world acts. You're not speaking like the world speaks. Then they hate you for that. When you dare stand up and call child sexual abuse. When you call fornication and not rename it premarital sex. When you call homosexuality an abomination before God, you call it that and not try to talk about the gay lifestyle. Trying to not offend people. And it's amazing to me that the people who you're trying not to offend couldn't care less about God. And you're supposed to be the one who does care about God. And make sure he's not offended. But yet still, we'll offend God in a heartbeat. Trying to maintain our comfortableness here in the world. Absolutely. That's a problem. You know why that's a problem? Because we have not yet developed an alien, foreigner, temporary resident mentality. And that's what we need to do. I'm talking about all of us. Amen. We have not yet developed that mentality. Because we are not to care whether the world hates us, long as they hate us for the right reason. And that is because I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a Christian, a miniature Christ. That's why I say you have to be a thug, a gangster, to truly live out this thing. A spiritual gangster.
Yes, sir.
Because you cannot care what the world thinks about you when it comes to obeying God. Y'all like, so be it. If I lose my job, so be it. Lose my life, so be it. Your mentality ought to be, man, I walk away from this in a heartbeat. I don't care about this job. I don't care about this house, these cars. I walk away from all of it for Christ's sake. Nothing is going to tie me down to where I'm going to think even about disobeying God and compromise that for my status and my comfort. So they hate you because you don't belong to the world. That's why it hates you. Right. You don't think, speak, or act like them. They don't like you. You go, if God just one day unleashed you, she works at U of M with all the hoity-toity. But boy, oh boy, sometimes the more higher up you are, the more vicious you are in your homosexuality and your beliefs. Just vicious. Is she, so I'm talking to April. If she were to go up at U of M and speak the truth of God, they might kill her. And I mean that literally. Yeah. They might beat her to death. Oh, yeah. Now, this is a violent spirit. And yet they're talking about them. That's what they did with Stephen. They stopped up their ears like grown folk. We don't want to hear this. And ran up on him as one a mob ran up on Stephen. Yeah. End up stoning him to death. Yeah, the world gonna hate you. But notice I've prefaced that statement concerning April was, if the Lord unleashed her, if you don't, you just go on and live how you do. Make sure you are living properly before watching world. But when it comes, when the opportunity comes to speak the truth, you speak it. And let the chips fall where they may, believing that God got your back. You lose job, but lose job. Losing that account won't give me $20 million, then lose it. What's $20 million compared to eternity? Got to weigh everything out correctly. What's $20 million compared to eternity? That's nothing. Lose a friend. Got another one for you. Maybe you need to be friendless for a minute. And just hang out with God. Because you mean your friend keeping you from hanging out with me all these years. Lose that friend. Lose that cousin. Family member. Family member. Mother, father, sister, brother. Whoever's keeping you from God, from Jesus, drop them. Like they're hot. Do I have scripture for that? Look at Mark 11. Mark 14. I have scripture for that. It's been so long. Luke, I don't know where that thing is. Luke 14. I don't know. Yeah, Luke 14. Luke 14:25. Can I start?
No.
No, hold on. Okay. 25. Now great crowds accompanied him. Luke 14:25. You good, mother?
Yeah.
Now great crowds accompanied him, Jesus. And he turned and said to them, who? The great crowds. Some say as many as 10,000, maybe 20. Told you crowds mean nothing. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, I'm not making this up, and mother, and wife, and children, and brother, and sister, and yet hate even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus must be number one.
Get your mind right.
He said, mother, father, and what did Jesus do? He named the closest relationships that you can have in life. Your wife, your children, your husband, mother, father, sister, brother. Yeah. Those are your closest. Before we get off into cousins, uncles, and aunties, and them best friends. Yeah. But you may say, well, I ain't close to my mother and father, but who is your closest? My cousin. Then he talking about, then he fall in that, he or she. And if you cool, if you ain't cool with none of your family, then your best friend still falls into that. So you don't get a pass. Well, he didn't mention best friend, so I can. No. You don't get a pass. What he's saying is, don't get so literal, is whoever you are closest to in relationship, they must be secondary when it comes to me. My late relationship must be primary. That's what salvation is all about. You must be tight with me, Jesus is saying, more than anybody else in your life. And everybody else in your life. All right, let's go back. Why will the world hate you? Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John, that's at the back. Chapter 4, verse 4. We're still answering the question, why will the world hate you as an alien, comma, foreigner, comma, refugee, comma, temporary resident, comma, stranger? Why will they hate you? You got it? 1 John 4 and 4. Okay. Let's start verse 5. I'm sorry. 1 John verse 5. They are from the world. Therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Do you see that? So are we not making this up? The world hears the world's language, and they listen. So, and I don't know if you realize it or not. I don't know if you caught on or not. You do understand that at the root of being an atheist, at the root of atheist, which is not believing in God, at the root of, I'm kind of jumping in something right quick, at the root of being an atheist, and at the root of atheism, is to get rid of God. We know that, so that there's no punishment for your sin. And you're free to do whatever you want to do. What's at the root of whatever you want to do?
Selfishness.
No, I know that. But what is it that you want to do? What's at the root of what you want to do?
Get rid of God.
No, I know that.
Get rid of God.
Huh?
Get rid of
God. Yeah, I know all that. Oh, that's good. I'm talking about a singular act, I guess. I'm going to give it away. What particular thing that you will know? Sin is broad. What's particular sin that's at the root of it, of all that you want to do? It's sex. Yeah. Unbridled, anytime, anywhere, whether it be with animals, with somebody else. If you look at the lives of some of the most prominent atheists, they had some of the darkest sexual lives, perversions. If you look at whole chapters in Leviticus about the laws were sexual perversion. It is amazing when it was unleashed. Once sin was unleashed, sexual perversion went crazy. By the end of Genesis, basically, every sexual perversion had already happened, whether it was incest, prostitution, whatever it was, fornication, adultery, all of that. Just I want to do whatever I want to do, and I, in particular, whoever I want to do it with, and I don't want this guy bothering me. This world has gone crazy. And it's been crazy for years. I never even got in this. I'm going to hit it and quit it real quick because it's just unsettling. But you got to realize sexual perversion didn't start in the 90s or our lifetime in like the 20th century. It's been going on for millennia. By the time slavery happened, you can imagine the slave masters picked out little girls and little boys for their own. And we'll end that right there. Never even think of that. I know I kind of shocked you what I just said, but you best believe you do your study, you do your homework on it, on those lifestyles. Not only do whatever you want to do, but in particular when it comes to sex. This is a sexually perverted world, way more than we ever understood. You know it, you just didn't realize it. How do you get child sex slavery? How does it become $100 billion industry? Do I have to say any more? Is that not sexual perversion? And it's not just boys with girls or males with females. It's males with little boys. I don't want God. I don't want him around here. That's the house you want to get into? If you really want to side with that perversion? You care that folks in the house call you any type of way just because you tell them that sexuality is wrong, outside of God's will is wrong? And you care that they fire you or you lose some money? Who cares? Your attitude ought to be, man, whatever. I'm not going to sit up in here with your crazy self. And you keep talking in the name of Jesus. Whoa, speaking tongues over yourself. But you ought to get to that point. You see what I'm saying, Miss Millie? But you mad about this, not think about scared they're going to say something. So what? Call sin, sin. Please. Word of life. Please. The habits of a homosexual is unbelievable. Bathrooms, back alleys, bars. 1,000 partners a year. 1,000. Especially male on male. Because of the fact that the pregnant, being pregnant and then worrying about an abortion has been completely removed. Yeah, your attitude ought to be, hate me. I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm a heavenly citizen. Yeah. I belong to God the Father. I'm just passing through this cesspool of sin. That ought to be your mindset. Just passing through. Y'all so crazy up in here, I got to hold my baby's clothes. Make sure they don't go anywhere. Ever. My baby can't even go to Walmart and buy some tie. Lord have mercy. Good night. Leave my baby alone. Go on somewhere with your crazy self. Trying to trick up Brianna. Let me calm down so I can pray. Woo! Father God, I thank you. We just heard from you today in a special way. Let me go out of here almost mad, but glad that we are aliens, foreigners, strangers, temporary residents of this crazy place. We just passing through. We speak a different language. And if we're not speaking it different enough, then help us to speak it more clearly. Yes, Lord. Yeah. We're supposed to be distinctly Christian. Mm-hmm. Profoundly, distinctly different from the rest of the world. We are alongside the house. And if we have put our toes in the house, and help us if we done entered in completely, get us out of the house.
Yes, Lord.
Put us back outside. And I don't care if you got to put us in the hospital to do it. Then so be it. We belong to you and you alone. And you are jealous, God, and you ain't going to share us with nobody else. Because you belong to me. Thank you, Father, for owning us.
Yes,
somebody ought to lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord,
for owning us.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.